Blog Talk Radio.
IMTM Worldwide Radio. We're on the air. September is here. It's crazy, right? And then today, all of a sudden, it forgot it was fall and it was 102 degrees outside. Tonight, we're going to be talking about the NBA. NBA season can't get here quick enough, right? What is the latest news on your team? Tonight, we're going to give all the true fans a chance to call in and speak on their favorite teams. Specifically talking free agency, of course. There's still some people haven't been signed yet. We want to talk about the past draft and where players fit in. Some of the older players, this might be their final year. You know, you got some 19, 20-year players going to be leaving soon, right? And, of course, the new players who've been around for a couple of years, maybe this is the year they start coming into their own. So where does your team stack up? Western Conference, Eastern Conference, where are you at? Call in and say what you feel about the upcoming season. 646-652-4479 is the number, so feel free to call in. Also, I'm planning to have a guest co-host in a moment. Haven't called in as of yet. I'll probably shoot him a text in a little bit, but we'll see if we can get him on the line as well. I had to pause starting the show there. If you notice that the music played a little bit longer than usual because I'm trying to get used to this new board that they have for our radio show, and there's all kind of new colors, and it's just throwing me all off. And I want to try to experiment with this one button that I see, but I feel if I press it, like the FBI is going to show up or something. I don't know. So we'll see if we'll work that out. I want to say that is my co-host on the air, so let's see if we can get him on. And they're actually going to go ahead and introduce him right now. Hold on one moment, folks. Hello, Shaquille, is that you?
Yes, it is.
How you doing, Shaquille? Everyone, this is Shaquille Blount. He is going to be my co-host, at least for the next half hour as far as the show goes. Shaquille, go ahead and introduce the audience to who you are.
This is Shaquille Blount. Recently, as of right now, I am a sales representative at Dillison, Peachtree Mall in Columbus, Georgia. Really love sports, you know. Basketball is my thing. We talk all day about it, so get our call in.
All right. That's an excellent introduction. Appreciate that. What we're going to do, we are going to be speaking on the NBA season. If you just heard the intro, we're plugging all teams for the most part. Basically, anybody who, of course, wants to call in and talk about their team specifically. One thing I want to do before we get started, I want to do a shout-out to company in Atlanta, the Gold Group. The owner of that company, Beige Fletcher, is going to be having a tremendous event October 4th. All of y'all that are listening, either live or who's going to listen to this after the show is over, you need to go. It is an excellent opportunity for those who are looking at being in business for yourself, looking at how to repair finances, how to invest, how to actually set and maintain a goal. These are things that you need to know about, and much more is going to be introduced to all the attendees. So if you go to this website, thegoalgroupinc.com, that's goal as in reaching a goal, thegoalgroupinc.com, and you go to the events and workshop page, and that's where you get your tickets. Students are welcome. Men and ladies are invited to this particular event. It's going to be at the Grand Hyatt in Buckhead, October 4th, from 4 o'clock to 8 o'clock p.m. So many special guests are going to be there. So visit the website, tune in there, and you'll get more information. And FYI, I'm actually going to be having Beige Fletcher tomorrow morning on my radio show interviewing her about the event. So, again, this is another opportunity for you to actually find out more about her and the great work that she's doing for people all across the country. And another person I'm going to give a shout out to real quick before we get started, his name is Chris Pritham. I'm going to be doing a radio, not a radio show, but a music show soon, and he's going to be one of the guests I'm going to interview. He's a producer. He's done a lot of work, but this is one of the reasons I instigated doing a music show a little bit sooner than I planned to. So hold on one moment for me. And that's all I'm going to play for y'all. So that track, when he sent it to me and I listened to the whole thing, see, some of you don't know that I used to record back in the day. I've even performed. So when I heard that track, it got me, you know, motivated to want to actually write a little bit, maybe even get back into the studio, maybe even get on stage. So we're going to talk to him about some of the stuff that he's done with artists and things of that nature over the past few years. Again, you can check him out. I'll give you his Twitter. Chris Pritham is spelled P-R-Y-T-H-M, and their website is illit.com, I-L-L-I-T.com. Illit Records is the name of their company. They do some great work over there. Chris Pritham is one of the guys there. Again, I'll have him on the air sooner than later. So, Shaquille, you are a Chicago Bulls fan, correct?
Miami Heat.
Oh, that's why I keep. You should have corrected me earlier. Okay. Oh, this would really be a good show then, right? All right. So you're a Miami Heat fan. First of all, what do you think from last year to this year, as far as just the team goes, other than Bosch probably coming back, you think it's going to be the biggest improvement from what happened last year? You know they were devastated with injuries and whatnot, but what do you think, especially with the starting five as it's, I guess, as it's touted right now, how do you think they've done? Do you think they should have did anything else? Do you think they're good? Tell me a little bit about the team, especially for the people who don't know some of the changes that have happened.
Yes, well, this past offseason in the free agency, we picked up Gerald Green, which was, I think, will be a nice little add to the lineup. And Amari Stoudemire as well. You know, Amari Stoudemire had a big season not too long ago. And injuries been really hurting him. But I really think if he comes back healthy and ready to play, I think he'll be – a nice little backup big man down there for us. And Hassan Whiteside as well. You know, he had a big season this past season when Chris Bosh was out. And averaging like 14 rebounds, 15 points, I really think he contributed very well. And Dwayne Wade coming back, I think we'll have a pretty good season. Maybe top four in the East, maybe. But we'll see how that goes.
Whoa, top four. Okay, I see. I hear you. Well, I know one thing. I forgot about Stoudemire going to be there. That is actually, I think, if he is at all, and of course the health thing always comes into play, but he's not going to be playing major minutes. So I think that being said, he's always been a scorer, right? He's always a body. He's not like a slouch necessarily. I mean, yeah, he ain't known for defense, but he can be active, right? So I think that definitely is a big deal. The bigger deal, I think, is even going to be Green. Now, you mentioned it. I mean, he's just a pure athlete. You know, he ain't old yet. And so him being on the bench definitely strengthens their bench. I believe their point guard play, I mean, do they still have Chalmers?
Yeah, they still have Chalmers. They still have Shabazz Napier. And we got Goran Dragic starting at the point guard. And we did pick up the rookie Justice Winslow as well. So I really think
The reason I asked about Mr. Rio – isn't there somebody got to be odd man out at that point? Because I don't know. I mean, Napier, I don't know if he might be better than Rio at this point. And then, of course, the rookie coming straight in, Winslow. But I kind of feel that maybe both of them are on the basis that they have Dragic. And do they really need four point guards there?
And Mario Thomas, he's been very, very, very good for us, you know. Playoffs, you know, but not this past season. The playoffs, he didn't really do too much. Well, not this past season because they didn't make it, but the year before that, you know, we had Norris Cole, and Norris Cole really lit it up off the bench, and Mario Thomas didn't really see too much clock. But now that Norris Cole is gone and we picked up, you know, a few guards, I don't really see Mario Thomas getting that much time, honestly. So I'm thinking maybe they'll throw a trade at him more, but I just don't see him much longer in the Miami Heat uniform.
Yeah, see, that's why I was kind of getting at. And with as far as the rest of the guards, now who is actually going to be the backup to Wade then? Because if they got four point guards, I mean, unless they kind of thinking about Winslow at shooting guard possibly, I don't know. But who's actually right now on the roster after Wade?
I'm thinking they'll have Shabazz the backup point. And most likely Gerald Green will run the two, and then they have Justin Winslow come in at the three. And they'll have Lou Aldini starting at the three, which was his original position, just for a defensive and that actual link to actually run the floor and whatnot.
Okay. I hadn't thought about that. So that's definitely a possibility there. So they signed Greg Whittington just recently. I just saw that. Checking the roster here. So how comfortable are you about Bosch coming back at all? I've seen some pictures of him. He looks like he's gained a little weight, just a little bit. I can't tell if it's like good weight or bad weight just yet. But what do you think about Bosch, you know, his contribution to the team overall after, you know, he had to come out last year, of course. And then with Whiteside, obviously they're center of the future now. How do you think, you know, that's going to play out as far as the season goes?
Well, you know, Whiteside is pretty much the big man that we're going to have for the season. And we still got Bird, man. So even if Chris Bosch isn't as helpful as he's been for the past 3-4 years, I really think that, you know, it might take him a while to get back into the groove of things. But I really think, you know, 20 points a game is Chris Bosch. I feel like Chris Bosch is always going to be Chris Bosch.
Yeah.
Just for outside scoring, and that's the next big man that we need.
And, you know, y'all still have Haslam. I guess Haslam is definitely going to retire there, it looks like.
Right.
So he's still there, too. And I don't know if this is correct, but it looks like y'all have Keith Benson, too, on the roster as a forward center. So y'all have, I mean, probably between now and the regular season, a couple of these people won't be there, of course. And see, y'all still have Josh McRoberts, too. He'll be coming back as well. I forgot about him, too.
And James Ennis as well. I forgot about him.
I was looking at him, too. Now, I remember seeing him, I think it was either last year or this year's summer camp or whatever, and he was playing really well. Okay, so, you know, y'all have I think y'all have enough young pieces to kind of fill in for the, you know, the guys who've been there for a minute or whatnot, but it's really going to come down to health as far as, you know, playing the season out, of course. Now, you mentioned top four. Maybe. I mean, definitely starting lineup-wise, y'all going to be tough. I mean, if Whiteside does anything like he did the year before, definitely that's going to play a big part as long as Wade is, you know, as close to being, you know, D-Wade as he can be. You know, you definitely have in the East definitely a formidable lineup, and then it's just going to be the bench, which, like I said, it looks like it's definitely gotten better than it was last year. Who do you think are the top three teams other than Miami then, if you put in Miami around number four? I want to hear this one.
Well, as much as I don't like them, Cleveland, they're going to be really tough. They're going to be really tough. And the Pacers, they added Monte Ellis to that lineup, and then Paul George is looking good, and they still had a pretty decent team. You can't count out the Bulls or the Wizards. So It's gonna be the Wizards. I mean, hey, they made a nice little run this past season. Made a real nice run.
I don't know. I'm almost a Star Wars. I have no confidence in the Washington Wizards for some reason. And I don't know if it's Wall. I don't know if it's coach. I don't know about them, man. They're an interesting team. That's all I'll put to it. They definitely got the talent, you know, but I don't know about whether or not they'll ever put it together enough to get to, you know, deep into the playoffs necessarily. At least not to be like above top four in the East.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, because again, you know, they did get knocked out of the playoffs last year. So, second round, but by the Hawks. I'm just saying. let me see. So, all right. So, the Bulls. Okay, I guess I got to bring, you know, what do you think about the whole Derrick Rose situation? Is it a situation? Is it something that's going to pretty much take care of itself? Or is that going to be something that's going to linger over their whole season as far as, you know, this incident or proposed alleged incident and whatnot? How do you think that's going to, you know, play an effect with the Bulls this year?
It's always going to be that concern anytime Derrick Rose is on his back on the floor. You know, is he hurt or is he going to be able to play, or we're going to have him for the playoffs? But at the end, they still have a very, very, very good team. And I feel like when Derrick Rose has sat out all this time, they really found themselves as a team, just to have that certain fight or been able to do it without him. And yeah. they're going to be in the playoffs. They're going to be there. And if Derrick Rose can actually stay healthy, they might be top three.
I mean, I won't lie. I was definitely impressed when he was regularly playing, and when he came back for the playoffs after the injury the second time around, and he played as close as we remember to him playing from the MVP season. Okay?
Right.
And that's what people have been waiting for, to see if he could, and for what they were saying, you know, the commentators was like, can he do it back-to-back night? It's kind of a deal. You know, he can do it this night, but then do we got to wait for him to do it the third night? Can we see him do it the second night? Kind of a deal. And he did. And so then it was just a matter of, well, what about the rest of the team, though? And the rest of the team kind of didn't do that great. And so that's how that, you know, that kind of their season kind of ended. But definitely if he's fully healthy, And see, remember, they have a new coach now. Okay, finally, you know, Thibodeau finally ran his course there. You know, so that's going to be another little factor there that people have to kind of be, you know, reminded of, is that they're going to be a little bit different team. They do have the you know, Butler is going to be there, and Powell's still going to be there, and everybody. But I'm interested in seeing what the second year is going to do for their younger players. You know, that got playing time. You know, I can't remember his name or pronounce it right. Let me see if I can pull it up real quick. But go ahead. Oh, go ahead. I can't hear you.
Miritich, I don't really know his first name.
There he goes. Yeah, Miritich. I think he's actually a better player than some people give him credit for.
He is.
When he gets playing time. Nikola.
Right.
There you go. Nikola Miritich. I think Doug McBuckets could actually do a little something if he ever got some serious playing time as well.
Yeah.
I heard that, well, Taj Gibson didn't get traded apparently yet. That Rudy Gay trade still might go down. I don't think that's going to be the best trade for the Bulls of all time. I think it will hurt them more than it will help, truthfully. We do remember that Bobby Portis got drafted by the Bulls. Tony Snell is there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they, like you said, if healthy as far as Rose goes, they're definitely a challenge in the East. As far as the Chicago Bulls go, but again, it's just, you know, if a feather hits them the wrong way, we always hate it, you know, when you see a player go down with particular injury, and then it happens more than once, you know, because you always wonder, will they, can they come back? We saw what happened with to Jay Williams from the Bulls from years ago, right? But that was off of a motorcycle, which he wasn't supposed to be driving. we remember the knees of, oh gosh, what's his name out in Portland?
Brandon
he's
Roy.
A very good player. They, who?
Brandon Roy.
Brandon Roy, yeah. He was an excellent player, but when those knees fit, oh man, it was he couldn't do it. You know,
yeah.
And he did try to come back once, I think, but, you know, at the end of the day, if your body tells you you can't do it, you can't do it. I will bring up something that you mentioned about the Indiana Pacers as far as the Eastern Conference go. With PG-13 back, do you think that's enough to get them back from basically going from worst to almost, I mean, from first to worst and back again? You know, as far as the Eastern Conference goes, because they didn't make the playoffs last year. They weren't really competitive at all, okay? Mm-hmm. Whether or not losing Greg Hibbert, the garbage can man, is going to make a difference or not, he was their main center for all intents and purposes. I don't think Bohemi is going to all of a sudden be, like, the main guy there, of course. What do you think they would need to do, you know, comparatively to challenge in the East? Because, again, the Boston Celtics are better. You know,
mm-hmm.
Toronto is still going to be, you know, okay. Chicago, Cavs, you've mentioned already. The Bucks are a better team, okay, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Charlotte, I think, could be a better team. Got Miami. You said the Wizards,
mm-hmm.
and, of course, the Hawks, okay. So with the Pacers being lodged in there, that's a lot of teams I just mentioned. You sure that they'll be able to really kind of come back and actually get back in to the playoffs?
Well, I think that Monte Ellis was a really good pickup for them as far as scoring goes. He's not too much of a defensive player, but he still has a lot of potential. And Paul George, when he did come, you know, he didn't start in the playoffs. He came off the bench. And you could tell he was a little, you know, a little stiff and a little didn't do too much. He shot the ball pretty well for somebody that just came back from an injury. But I just don't know. And it just – this season will tell itself when it actually starts and he actually is on the floor moving around. They think about moving him to the power forward now that Roy Hibbert's gone and David West went to the Spurs. It's no telling.
I still don't really think that's a logical move. I mean, power forward is not what it used to be, but it's still power in front of the forward. And
right.
I just don't see him getting his body to where – he could do that for a whole season off of a major injury. I can say that's a lot of confidence to move him from, you know, technically, you know, shooting guard small forward to power forward, you know.
Right.
But it's not happened a lot, I don't think. I know Michael Jordan kind of almost could play, but he kind of was, you know, he was kind of that big. Magic Johnson did it, you know, but Magic was already kind of, he was 6'9", shoot, you know,
right.
Rolling around there. And, but Paul George was like small, you know, he wasn't big. So that'll be an interesting thing. Let's do this, Shaquille. I'm going to take a little bit of a break, and what we're going to do is we're going to come back and we're going to talk a little bit about the Western Conference, and we're going to see if we have any fans calling about their particular team. Remember, call in 646-652-4479. And, of course, I forget to open up the chat room, so let me do that right now. If you are listening online or listening on the phone and you want to listen to it online, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/IMTN Worldwide, and you can listen there. I have the chat room open. I will probably check some of the NBA pages that I'm a part of, make sure that everybody knows I'm on the air, and we'll be right back. This is Chris, IMTN Worldwide Radio. Shaquille, don't go anywhere, okay?
All righty.
Hello?
Chris, where are you at?
I'm in a bed asleep. Why?
Chris, you're supposed to be at the studio. Flick is looking for you.
What time is it?
5:00.
Oh, man.
Chris, you have to do better than this. Don't you know all this competition that's out here? It's all about the competition. It's all about the competition.
Mm-hmm. As you can see, I'm not at home being lazy and idle. Instead, I'm writing rhymes. You are hearing poet recitals, creating thoughts in your mind. Remind you of Bible, 10 commandments, 10 plagues, even Samson Delilah. Besides that, establishing myself in this game. Not concerned about the chips, whips, chicks, or the fame. But if it comes, so be it. You won't hear me complain. Just as long as you don't ever, ever forget my name. INTELLEGT, representing ATL and the Fountain City. I had the microphone in my hand for the 96. Now my calendar is full on the regular hectic. You better believe I feel the need to prove myself. You got to beat me above nobody else. I place myself, but if it gets down to it, I will be the lighter and you can be the fluid. He's on fire. I'm in the game like EA. Won't be bowing down as if I was your sensei to anyone. That's the answer to the question. Will he be like everyone else? I won't keep you guessing. To be unique, that's the essence of my mission. That is why it's all about the competition. Competition, 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 you know I got you wishing. Competition, it's all about the competition. Competition, it's all about the competition. Competition, it's all about the competition. Competition, you know I got you wishing. Gun in my hand, finger on the trigger. Looking you dead in the eye, courage getting bigger. Looking at you sweat, you thinking will he do it? Mirror, mirror on the wall, can I? Let me prove it. Whoa, let me step back, that sounded kind of violent. That's not the type I am. Some may call me silent, even quiet, but definitely not Wyatt. Earth, this ain't the Wild Wild West. Not if I was Captain Kirk. It's the remix, part two of competition. Microphone, my weapon of choice. Please don't get it twisted. If you miss it, turn on the television. To end a 1079, get the AJC late edition. Forgotten my name, let me tell you how it's spelled. INTELLEGT, hit me on my email. Yeah, ATL is where I dwelled. Don't be forgetting that when it's time for records to sell. Competition, it's all about the competition. Competition, it's all about the competition. Competition, it's all about the competition. Competition, you know I got you wishing. Competition, it's all about the competition. Competition, it's all about the competition. Competition, it's all about the competition. Competition, you know I got you wishing. INTELLEGT, representing ATL and the Fountain City. I have the microphone in my hand right now. It is time for me to show you how I get down. Been a long time coming, much anticipated. 10 years in the making, very complicated. For all of you who are listening to this particular track, either live, radio, MP3, play it back. In regards to my intro, if you ask who this be, 1994 grad, Kendrick Cherokee. If you need more specifics, then wait until it's over. Better yet, buy it, read the album cover. Either way, I believe you will be satisfied with what I say. My lyrics different, this I cannot lie. I have the opportunity to get into this game. Now press rewind a couple of times so you don't forget my name. Competition, it's all about the competition. Competition, it's all about the competition. Competition, it's all about the competition. Competition, you know I got you wishing. Competition, it's all about the competition. Competition, it's all about the competition. Competition, it's all about the competition. Competition, you know I got you wishing.
This is Chris, IMTN Worldwide Radio. We got Shaquille on the line as a co-host tonight. That was a song that I wrote a long time ago called Competition. And like I said, I might be back in the studio again thanks to Chris Pritham of Illit Records giving me a shout-out. Again, be reminded, there is – hold on a second. Sounds like a little bit of feedback. Let me see if I can fix this. Hold on. Test, test, 1, 2. That's a little bit better. Have a big event that I want to shout out for the Gold Group there in Atlanta, Beige Fletcher. The Design Your Life Workshop. It's a huge, huge, huge important event. I'm going to have her on my radio show tomorrow morning, actually interviewing her about the event and why it's a big deal, why everybody should be there. So definitely check that out. Go to the website. Get your tickets now, www.thegoalgroupinc.com. That's goal, like pursue a goal, groupinc.com, okay? And you go to the events workshop page, and get all the information there. You can also call 305-204-1826 if you have questions. I forgot to mention that earlier. So we have Shaquille on the line. How you doing, Shaquille?
I'm good.
I appreciate you coming in tonight. We just finished talking about the Eastern Conference. We've talked about the Miami Heat. We've talked about the Bulls, the Hawks, all type of teams. We're going to get into a little bit of the Western Conference because, of course, one of the main people over there that a lot of people are wondering what he's going to do is named Kobe Bryant. Shaquille, what do you think of Kobe Bryant just in general terms? Let me ask you that first.
Well, he is a black mama. I can't really say too much about him, but I believe he is the, well, I'm not going to call him the GOAT, but he could come back pretty good. Yeah, he could come back pretty good. The team's not looking too great. They do have Roy Hibbert, who isn't much, obviously. And they did get that the good rookie out of Ohio State in the draft. And Julius Randle, he came from an injury. He was hurt all season last year. And we just see how it goes. I mean, I think that Kobe is going to come back as Kobe. He always does. You know, just as the whole 82 games and then the playoffs. So we'll just see how his legs hold up.
Yeah. Well, let me speak on this, because if we remember 2 years ago, what Kobe did in that stretch to get the team into the playoffs before he, you know, fell apart finally, right? And he came back the next year, which was last year, and played until he was out again. So like you said, yes, every time he leaves, he does come back, Kobe Bryant. But now here's the deal. With him being 37, which technically still isn't old, but see, Kobe has played a lot of minutes. Okay?
Yeah.
He's not played the typical NBA career. He's been playing for a long time. All those playoff series, all that stuff catches up. Okay?
Right.
So that's going to be one concern for them. However, I'll still take a 37-year-old Kobe Bryant over a 24-year-old, some of these other players, any day of the week plus Tuesday, okay? I believe Kobe, if he's going to get the shots, he's still a 20-point scorer. So let's, you know, look at the rest of that roster now, because that's going to be the thing. Like you said, Julius is coming off a season-ending injury as well, okay? But let's say if he does come back and he's playable. We know what kind of skill player he was in college. We didn't get to see him in the NBA, though, yet. Okay?
Right.
You have some young players, Jordan Clarkson. I like him. He's a good player. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they have the rookie, like you said, drafted, you know, D'Angelo Russell. They have him.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what he can really do yet either. Okay? But let me say this. In the last year, okay, they started actually playing like a team. They actually were very competitive, actually. Okay, and that's coaching primarily. All right. Now, what I'm looking at is, and I said this during the summertime after the draft and then free agency, I said to everybody, don't sleep on the Lakers and Kobe. Okay, I believe they have an outside shot of actually making the playoffs this year. Okay, reason I say that mostly is because the one thing that they didn't have last year was a bench. Now, if Nick Young, Swaggy P, whatever he wants to call himself, has any kind of a decent year on top of Lou Williams being there, okay,
mm-hmm.
And then the main thing, whatever Roy Hibbert can actually give them, because last year we know what their center situation was, and it wasn't that great, okay?
Right.
Now, they did lose 1-4 that I actually liked. I can't remember his name, unfortunately, but I don't see him on the roster. But I thought he was a really good – he was more than serviceable as a power forward. He blocked shots. He rebounded hard. But he's not here. He's not there. I don't see him anymore. But I think they have a serviceable team that actually competition-wise, I think they could sneak in, because there's going to be some Western Conference teams that ain't going to make it from last year to this year. I guarantee it, okay?
Right.
So I just think that much of Kobe. Now, that's just me. I'm not even necessarily a Kobe fan, but I respect him a whole heck of a lot. you know, because he played. You know, so that's just me on as far as the Lakers. Now, as far as the rest of the Western Conference, and, you know, we know how the season ended, you know, world champions, Golden State Warriors and everything. What do you think about the Western Conference this year? Who do you think are the top teams right now, top five teams, let's just say, and we'll go from there.
Okay, well, number one, the Spurs, from they pick up Marcus Aldridge in the free agency. I feel like they might not be stopped this year. I mean, they easily top two, but easily. And Golden State, they made a lot of noise last year, but I don't think it'll be the same thing this year. Well, their biggest problem is consistency. And I feel like they just had a big run in the playoffs. You know, they played a few teams that had some injuries, and the Rockets, and they toughed it out on Cleveland. But and then you got the Clippers. They picked up Josh Smith, and they also picked up Lance Stevenson and Paul Pierce. And I feel like after they beat Spurs last year, they really had a good chance of taking it all. But that James Harden was something else. And let's see who else. Okay, see, KD coming back. We never know how that goes either. Sometimes they, on the court, it seems like they might not get along too well, but they're both outstanding players. And I think they might have a good chance of getting in at the bottom seeds. And I feel like these is Dirk last 2 years. I don't know how long he's really got in the NBA. They didn't really pick up too many people, the Mavericks. Rondo's not there anymore. I feel like they might not make it. Portland as well, with LaMarcus gone. Damian Lillard is their franchise player now. And they didn't really pick up too many people either.
I think they lost people.
Yeah, they did. And I think Batum left as well, and Wesley Matthews is gone. And with LaMarcus Aldridge, I feel like that was just a big piece of the puzzle.
Yeah, I think that's going to be too much for them to overcome, truthfully, too.
I see a late trade in the season, probably right before All-Star game, just to find that piece that they need to just barely make it into the playoffs. But you never know.
Yeah. What do you think about the Utah Jazz? I'm going to just throw you out a random team.
Utah. Derek Favors, Gordon Hayward, Alec Burks. They had a pretty decent team last year. They just can never seem to make that run at the right time just to make it into the playoffs. It's been a while since they went, since Darren Williams was there. But
a long time, yeah.
It's been some years. I feel like they just need that one key piece as well. Maybe a big man or maybe a point guard, scoring point guard at that. But I know with them,
it's, you know, they gave Gordon Hayward all the money on earth. Okay. But they do have a young team. That plays a little bit of a part in it, but they were young 2 years ago. They were young last year. But last year they did kind of make a little bit of improvement, but the team part of it is still missing for whatever reason. I don't know. And like you said, maybe it's because of the guard play to an extent. I'm looking at their team now, and I'm trying to actually figure out who is their actual point guard. I mean, is it Trey Burke? Exum, I think, just had some surgery or whatnot. So I'm not really sure how that works out. Like you said, Favors is there. You got Gobert there. He's a great player. Rodney Hood, I really like. I remember watching him during the summer league and everything. I'm actually impressed with him. You got Trey Lyles there. They just have a real young team, but they all have skills. And is this going to be a matter of can you actually coach them into something, you know?
I think that one thing that they do lack is vets. They need people who have that experience, and they don't really have anybody with that experience. I feel like if they do find that one person that can kind of mentor the team, they really have a good chance of winning.
Yeah, I can agree with that completely. Those Thunder, one thing about them, I'm not writing them off necessarily, but it has been 5 years now. You know, and when you're talking about, like, exceptional players, I mean, like, KD and Westbrook are not just, you know, ho-hum players, you know, and KD has won MVP before. You know, and it's like, you don't, you almost would be like, they don't really need a big three. They just need themselves, but they do need some other people to kind of chip in. But see, like I've been saying for 2 years, they should have gotten rid of Coach 2 years ago. They shouldn't have waited this extra year over. I think that was a waste. Whether or not KD and Russell were hurt or whatever, I just don't think he was that great. And really, I think he lost the team 2 years ago. You know,
right.
So I think they've wasted a couple of years of talent now. Everybody is a little bit older. They're not old, but they're older, you know. And when you're talking about making a run, remember, I mean, everybody can't go 19 years to hopefully win a ring, right? So I don't know what they can do as far as pieces to the puzzle at this point in time. Man, I don't know. And I think you said you don't even know if they might make it to the playoffs this year. Is that what you said about OKC?
I'm not going to make that bold of a statement because you can't count out KD or Westbrook at that point. And Westbrook made a real good run. I think the last 10 games they played, he averaged a triple-double. And he really impressed
me. Yeah, that was crazy. I had never seen nothing like that before.
Yeah, towards the end of the season, he really impressed a lot of people and turned a lot of heads. And with KD coming back, you just can't count him out. They might, you know what I'm saying, be in the bottom five, but you never know. Just the West is always tricky when it comes to the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm just now taking a look at their roster, and besides Cantor, Stephen Adams is still there, but that's basically their centers. And as far as the rest of their big men, other than Ibaka, they really don't, and even with Ibaka, because he doesn't really play like a power forward, of course. So in the West, you know, is that going to be enough? Of course they're going to be able to score. You know, they got Deion Waiters. Steve Novak is still out there to hit some threes and whatnot. They got Singler, too. I forgot about him. Anthony Morrow is there. So they have all that. But, one, will they be able to play defense enough to matter? You know, I don't know. That's going to be one of their things right there, playing deep with this team. So that's going to be an interesting mix for sure in the Western Conference, I believe, too.
I don't think their bench will be deep enough to actually make a run in the playoffs. And if they do make it, I feel like they won't make it past the first or second round.
Yeah. I got an interesting team for you to speak on. Minnesota Timberwolves.
Andrew Wiggins, Zach LaVine, this past year's dunk contest, Ricky Rubio, they did bring KG back. Gordon Dean, the African big man that they got, he's pretty big down there, just for the presence and the pain at least. They have potential. That is another young team. I believe they still have Kevin Martin there. But they have a lot of potential. KG, just being a vet alone and just his presence on the court, I feel like they might have a decent run. I don't know about the playoffs. I don't see it, but you never know.
Well, again, and it's because of the Western Conference, only 8 teams can get in there. And, of course, with their record as it was last year, it was horrible, of course. So to think that they'll go from that to this. But, again, one player you mentioned, what is Rubio going to do? What would Rubio do? And he's never really lived up to the hype of Ricky Rubio, the name.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the year that happens? I don't know. Because it's just, as far as this pure talent goes, between Wiggins and LaVine, Kevin Martin is still there, actually. Okay. You got Andre Miller there, old man Miller, still trying to play. Okay. Whatever Pekovic can give him. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Adrian Payne is a really good forward. He came from the Hawks. They still have, like you said, Dang, and he's actually pretty dangerous in there when it comes to being in there in the paint, okay?
Right.
And then you also have Anthony Bennett, if he ever gives you anything that he was supposed to give you 3 years ago, okay?
Right.
So they definitely got talent. They're definitely young. Tayshaun Prince is still on the team.
Right.
Okay? And guess what? We can't forget, Karl Anthony Towns was drafted. You know, so if you throw that into the mix, I mean, they do actually have something to look forward to. And KG, you know, this is his last year. this could be his going out party to somehow get this team into the playoffs. That would be really, really cool to see, because Minnesota ain't been in the playoffs in a minute either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
And I think
go ahead.
KG hasn't – I think the last time they did go to the playoffs was when KG went, and I think they got knocked out.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Isn't it the last time since he's – that's a long time. So it would be exciting – just to see this team actually play well for a change. Actually, I mean, really, if they could just finish at 500, that would be something.
I see them doing some big things this season. Their backcourt isn't too great. I feel like they could use some more ball handlers. Andre Miller being back there might help out a lot. But their backcourt isn't that deep. And they got a few players coming off the bench that could contribute. But playoffs, they might barely make it in there. But it's a lot of teams that's grazing the AC, and I don't know if Minnesota's gonna hang in there or not.
Yeah, I completely agree with you on that. All right, let me ask you this question, and then we're going to take another break. When it comes to the teams that always are supposed to be there, like the Memphis Grizzlies, does Memphis have one more run to potentially? And remember, we're talking about them getting over the Spurs. We're talking about them getting over the Rockets. We're talking about them getting over Golden State. Do the Memphis Grizzlies have enough to possibly make one more run to get to the Western Conference Finals?
Memphis, they've always been the favorite of mine coming out the West. Them and the Clippers. And I feel like this past season they really got robbed in the playoffs. With Mike Conley going out and Tony Allen, he's pretty dangerous on defense. And I feel like they should have beat them if they didn't get hit by those serious injuries. And this season they're going to be in the playoffs. You can't count them out, but they might make a good run for it. It just depends on what they do in the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, I've always thought people rightly so tout them as the favorites because of the defense and everything like that. But again, it always comes down to all of a sudden, mysteriously, certain people get injured, and they miss out. And it's just been crazy the last few years how that's happened or whatnot. And then they do try to retool. Remember they got Vince last year, Vince Carter. And he did help. But it still, at the end of the day, was not enough. And this is going to be interesting. Again, the Western Conference has always been, that conference. And now that they've won, the championship 2 years in a row again now, that's actually going to be my subject when we come back from break. What's the East going to do about it? And, of course, one of those people, is LeBron James, And, they still have some unfinished business with the team as far as structure goes. And we're going to talk about that as far as, rest of the free agent moves and things of that nature. So we're going to take a little break. Hold on for me, Shaquille. I'll have you on one more segment if you can stay on. This is Chris, IMTN Worldwide Radio. We'll be right back. Hey, everyone, this is Chris, IMTM Worldwide Radio, back on the air, having a great evening talking about NBA basketball during the off-season. We know it's a long off-season, but it's not as long because, hey, things are always going on, thanks to NBA TV, NBA.com, TNT, and the rest of the guys, the NBDL, World Championships, all kind of stuff to keep us together until the regular season starts. Late October, early November. Got Shaquille on the line, co-hosting the show tonight. How you doing, Shaquille?
Still here.
All right, still here. Last segment. We're almost there, man. We've been talking about the conferences, Eastern Conference, Western Conference, different teams, who's going to be in the top five in their conferences from last year to this year. Somehow or another, we just missed talking about the New York Knicks. And guess what? I'm not going to talk about the New York Knicks tonight. So that's cold. I know. I can't help it. All right. So before we went on break, I kind of mentioned that, you know, the last 2 years now, the Western Conference has won the NBA Finals. And looking at this year, one team, of course, that everybody is looking at coming back and getting into the finals a second year in a row is the Cleveland Cavaliers. And if that happens, of course, that would mean LeBron would be in the finals for how many years in a row now?
That'd be four, five.
I think it would be five, right? So that would almost kind of be unprecedented to an extent. You know, you have the Boston Celtics who went to, you know, consecutive finals for, you know, some years there, but they were winning them. So, again, people are going to come back to this his winning percentage in the finals again. If they were to go back to the finals and lose again, how does that affect his legacy? But right now, I just want to talk on the basketball side as far as the Eastern Conference, LeBron James, the Cleveland Cavaliers, with or without Tristan Thompson, because right now I don't think that's going to happen. I said that last year they're going to lose him. What do you think about Cleveland as far as a whole in regards to the team itself? Shaquille.
Well, they have a very deep bench. They have a very good backcourt with Kyrie Irving. If he comes back, the same Kyrie Irving, which no doubt he probably will. J.R. Smith, Ramon Shumpert, LeBron, of course, Kevin Love, Anderson Varejao, out here, be coming back as well. I just feel like they're going to be a top 13. They're going to be, just because LeBron is such a great player. Not to ride that bandwagon, of course. He's an outstanding player. He just can't seem to finish when it needs to be, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to throw something out there, because here's the deal. Last year, when Love and Kyrie were hurt and all the stuff was going on and going into the playoffs and everything, now Kyrie is hurt right off the bat, basically, and there's question marks whether or not he will even play until January. Now, there's a lot of games that are played between November and January, okay? Mm-hmm. So let's say if that's the first thing that happens, he doesn't play till January. Now, we know what happened, you know, last year when there was all those injuries and even LeBron went out and everything. They didn't play that well. And then when everybody came back, what their record was. But that was last year. This is this year. Do they have a type of a team, especially with everybody knowing who's on this team, okay? They don't have that many, like, quote-unquote, young players, okay? Mm-hmm. They did bring J.R. Smith back. Iman is there. Richard Jefferson is going to be playing there this year. That will be interesting to see. They still got that Hobbit guy. I hate him, okay? And, of course, Kevin Love came back, which I didn't know they were going to pull that off, actually. I thought they might lose him. But if they don't sign Tristan Thompson, Anderson Varejao is coming back, but really, is he really going to contribute, especially with Mozgov being there? Mozgov is a beast, okay?
Yeah.
What is their lineup is actually even going to look like? Their starting lineup, let's say Kyrie doesn't play, who's point guard starting off the season, okay? And is it going to be Mozgov at center, Kevin Love at power forward? And then does that mean LeBron will be playing small forward at that point, of course? Who's going to be the shooting guard? Was that going to be JR? Is that going to be Iman? You know, and then translate that into the bench. And remember, Mo Williams is back now, too. How do you think that's going to stack it?
Well, Mo Williams, you know, he's played with LeBron a lot, and just in previous seasons, and when he was previously with Cleveland, just that chemistry together, I feel like he might be their starting point guard. And J.R. Smith, to me personally, plays better off the bench. Just always has, and he can always shoot you out of a game. He just always had that fear: will he be hot tonight? Is he gonna make shots? And with Amari Shumpert, he's consecutive. He plays good defense. You know, he runs the floor in transition. Always finishes on the other end, and LeBron always got him on his side when they do run the break. And I feel like Mozgov probably will start most likely, and Kevin Love will be there. And Tristan Thompson, him coming off the bench is just a nightmare, you know. And I feel like Tristan Thompson can come back because he could always be a major factor with another team. But then again, 5 years, $80 million. That's I'd say myself.
Well, and this is their problem because it's going to be one of those deals where he just proved to everybody on the planet Earth for the most part that he should be starting and what his effect is in the starting lineup when you need it most. For him to say he's going to go back to the bench, I just don't – it ain't even about pride to an extent. It's just about – this is his point of his career where, one, he's going to have to try to cash in because nothing is guaranteed, right? And I think he just wants to be able to prove to himself that he's a legitimate, you know, player in the league. Does he make them better coming off the bench? Of course. But, you know, what do you do? Do you put Kevin Love on the bench? Do you put Kevin Love at center and put Tristan at power forward and have Tim, you know, Mozgov come off the bench, you know, type of a deal? You know, you got Varejao. You can only have so many people coming off that bench at big man. And they only really have three, technically. Mozgov, Kevin Love, and Varejao. And then you got, you know, Tristan. So if they don't sign him, you know, I don't know. But, again, like you said, you got JR who will shoot you out of the game like it ain't nothing. We saw that last year. You know, after that, those couple of games, we saw that Matthew wasn't all that great of a player, which all of us kind of knew, but, you know, he snuck it in there. I think Joe Harris actually is a better player than most people think. I think he should get some more playing time this year. I don't know what James Jones got left. He did kind of show a little bit last year, but at the end of the day, anybody can hit a shot when they're wide open. Richard Jefferson, I don't know how much he has left in the tank. We'll have to see. But they, that Tristan Thompson signing is going to be a big one. Like you said, that is an expensive ticket for what they're already doing. Mm-hmm. And then remember, next year the TV contracts kick in.
Right.
You know, and so I think that's a consideration for everybody. You know, LeBron went on to sign his little one-year deal or whatever again, you know. But I don't know. I think Cleveland's going to be an interesting team, but I can't put them at the top right now. Because really, and as bad as Atlanta did look against them for that sweep, Atlanta could have easily beat them, and they should have beat them, and they didn't. They had the opportunity to do it. You know, I think continuity is going to play a part with the Cleveland Cavaliers, and that's why that Kyrie Irving being hurt or not is going to play a big part, I think. But I can't put them as no sure thing, that's for sure. I think they'll be in the top three, but I don't put them at the very top, though. With that said, is LeBron James going to sign permanently with Cleveland come the TV contract? Is he going to sign a 6-year, 7-year deal worth $5 billion or whatever? Is he going to finish his career in Cleveland, or is there still a chance he can leave? What do you think?
So, LeBron fans out there, I feel like they don't want him to leave again, you know. But then again, if he does leave, they're just going to follow, you know. And they almost burned Cleveland down when he left the first time. Just imagine what they're going to do.
That's what happened. That's what happened the first time around, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. And it's just I feel like he wants championships. That's what he wants. He really wants to win. He wants his legacy to move on. He wants the 7 rings or whatever, you know. And if they don't win,
I'm gonna poke a hole in it though.
Okay. If they don't win it this year, I feel like he might stick around, but LeBron's just that kind of player. If he's unhappy or if he feels like somebody's not contributing, he can always just make his team like he's always done. He wants this person, he wants that person. That coach will go and get him, you know. But I feel like he might stay. It's a possibility. But then again, he could just pack it back and go on to the next thing that he feels a championship is.
Shaquille, my only thing with that, and it all sounds well, fine, and good, up to a point, if he really was trying to win, and if it's rings he's trying to win. Now, if he's just talking about winning games, okay, cool. He just wants Cleveland to be better. But if it was rings, his best bet was staying in Miami.
Yep,
they had just won. They had just went. They had just went to how many finals in a row?
Yeah, three of them.
Okay, and now, let's say we don't know whether or not if he had stayed, they would have gotten Whiteside or not. But what if they had? Doggone it, right? We don't know whether or not Dragic would have showed up there eventually. But what if he did too? And at the end of the day, Napier, I think, is going to be actually a good player. That LeBron. I don't know. Like I said, maybe he's subtexting stuff. All of a sudden, he might be back in. Look at the team now. What if he was there? Think about that.
Yeah.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I'm just saying. Just seems strange. All of a sudden, he leaves, and now all of a sudden, the team is almost perfect. What if he was? I don't know what would have to, who would have to leave for him to come back. Probably, hey, guess what? Lou Alden. I'm just saying, all of a sudden you have a roster that would be a killer one. But the thing of it is, like you said, would he dare actually leave his team again? It's iffy. I don't know. But I think he could. And again, when you're talking about money, you're talking about being comfortable somewhere, you're talking about finishing a career somewhere like Miami. Finishing it with your best bud, Dwayne Wade, in the peeps and everything, right?
Right.
I don't know. It's a tough one. But like I said, in the back of my mind, it's like until he signs the long-term deal, it's wide open, right?
Right.
You know, for all we know, he might go to New York. Let's talk about New York for a second. I wanted to leave it alone. But then I see this story again about Larry Johnson talking about blacks should have their own basketball league again. So I guess I'll go ahead and bring up, you know, my old team. I used to like the Knicks back in the day because I'm from New York and everything. And along with the Hawks, I would always follow the Knicks, you know, up until that year that Charles Smith couldn't hit that layup. I was pretty much done. And then, you know, the series where, you know, Patrick missed that layup instead of dunking it, he laid it up and it didn't go in. You know, and then the Allen Houston years where he's still probably getting paid by the team, even though he ain't playing. It's been rough. And these last couple of seasons, seeing this what's going on there, and then Phil and doing whatever he's doing, it's been a rough time. So let me ask you this. With the New York Knicks and the state that they're in, how soon do you think, first of all, they'll get back to 500? And then how soon do you think it will be before their playoff contention again? With
Melo still there. Melo hasn't really had too many issues with injuries. He does have a few of them, but he usually just comes back just to sign Melo. Tim Hardaway Jr. is gone. You know, they lost J.R., they lost him. They did pick up the Russian in the draft, 7'2", looks real athletic, got his name, something long, real long. But he didn't look too bad, and they still do have a point guard that came from Syracuse. They don't look too bad on paper, but you know how the Knicks are. They might have a good lineup on paper, but just never seem to get the chemistry together or win games. But Phil Jackson knows what he's doing, I think. The coaching, I don't really know too much about the coaching. And Melo just got to play ball. I really like to see Melo play, but it's been a while since I've actually seen Melo put up those numbers that everybody loves to read about.
Yeah, well, as far as coaching, it's still Derek Fisher. He didn't get fired. Phil Jackson's guy, okay? And he feels that he's going to be the best person to put and implement his system, you know, for this Knicks team. but it's almost like a cast of characters when we're talking about this team. I mean, wow. I mean, from Melo after that, it's just not looking that great, truthfully. I mean, here's who you have at possible point guard right now. Jose Calderon, which is, I guess he's like 60 years old now. I don't know. And then, truthfully, they don't have another point guard. I mean, does Jerry and Grant play point guard? I don't think so. Sasha don't play no point guard. I guess he could if it had to happen. And they have Aaron Afalo. Yeah. Those are their guards for the most part. I mean, they got Langston Galloway. He counts, I guess. But they don't have a point guard right now. They drafted the guy at number 4 in the draft that everybody in the world got mad about, right? We seen the video, right?
Right.
They do have Derek Williams, that athletic talent that has never done nothing in the NBA yet. But he's athletic. they do have Robin Lopez. Now, I will give him credit pulling him in because at least he's a little bit more than a serviceable center. He can do a little bit of something, okay? They got the cousin of the Greek freak, Thanasis. I can't pronounce the last name, but he's the cousin of the Greek freak. He's there. But other than that, they don't really have anybody. I mean, they got Kevin Serafin. He's okay. But as far as this team on paper, this team is not going anywhere. And so Carmelo's going to go through this season. Next season with the TV deal, they'll be able to sign people, but what kind of Carmelo are we going to get by then is my question. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's got to come back and be the Melo from the Denver Nuggets that actually, you know what I'm saying, breaking records at the three-point line and, you know, just all out aggressive and playing both sides of the ball. But honestly, Melo just doesn't seem too concerned about the team. I feel like they could have something, but Antetokounmpo's younger brother, we don't know what potential he has, but we see what his brother has become. There's just no telling. I don't know how it's going
to
go.
I mean, I'm just even trying to figure out what their starting lineup would be, much less what's coming off the bench right now. And is this not? I mean, to me, it's almost like really. I think they would have been better suited trading Melo. You know, like seriously, and really groundbreaking starting all over rather than basically suffering through another season like they're about to go through. I mean, this team might be a little bit better next year, and that's only if they actually play some kind of semblance of defense. And technically, that's what they're almost going to do, because other than Melo, they don't have no – I mean, I take that back. Aaron Afalo can score. If he's their starting shooting guard, okay, I can see that. But after those two guys – this is a mystery. It could be brutal out there. Now, I'll say this. If Porzingis, I've seen tape on him a little bit, and I've seen him work out and all this kind of stuff. I think people are bashing him for the wrong reasons, if it's just his body. But he's bigger than Sean Bradley was, okay,
yeah.
For one. Okay? And he has a skill set in the NBA because I've seen him, he can shoot for one thing. Okay.
Yeah, he can.
Whether or not he can post up, we'll see. But everybody don't just come in there just world bankers to an extent. Even KG took a while to develop. Okay.
Right.
So if he's actually going to be on the court, let him play. Okay.
Yeah.
And if, you know, I say get everything you can out of him, and then just see what happens in the midseason. Kind of see what happens. I mean, look at this. They got Klay Anthony early. Whoever Lance Thomas is, I don't think I remember who Lance Thomas is. Kyle O'Quinn is on their team this year. Lou Amundsen is on their team. He actually plays hard, at least.
Yeah.
But as far as the system, as far as Derek Fisher, and I mean, they don't have no scoring, you know, for the triangle to work. Okay. So I don't know what they're really going to do out there this year. I think they might have a little bit better record than last year. They won't have, like, long losing streaks because Melo will be back. But still, it just doesn't look too good right now.
Yeah, I don't see them. I see them not making 500. It might be a few years, a few draft picks that they need to actually be that 8th seed New York Knicks, you know. But it'll be a while for them to reach 500 again.
I hear you. So let me do this, because we were about to end the show a little bit early tonight. What are your he's real early, of course, but if it got down to it right now, from what you've just seen and what you know, you know, between the Western Conference and the Eastern Conference, who do you think the two top teams are going to be at the end of next year?
This might be a little bold. I see the Spurs coming out the West again and out the East. Cleveland will probably, most likely, knowing LeBron, end up in the finals. I see Cleveland and the Heat. I see my Heat, Cleveland and the Heat, and probably Cleveland. Again, Spurs and Cleveland.
So you're putting the Heat in the Eastern Conference Finals. All right. And definitely with the Spurs, I mean, right now, I mean, they would have to really play poor as far as I'm concerned. Like you said, with LaMarcus Aldridge. Now, here's the deal. Are we overstating the importance of Mark? You know, will he play the same there in Spurs, you know, the system that they got that he was in Portland? You know, now we got to look at all the angles, half empty, half full, as far as that goes. You know, Kawhi Leonard, you know, how is his development improving or not improving? Is he digressing, or is he, you know, I mean, regressing, I should say, or whatnot? Tony Parker, you know, what version of Tony Parker are we going to get this season? He's going to be another year older. You know, Manu, the rest of the guys there, you know. But if it's just on paper, heck, they got a shot to win 65 games this year, okay? If it just gets down to it, because they are deep. I mean, like I said, one of the reasons you can win 60 or more games is because no matter what happens, whether it be players getting tired or players being injured, you got enough people on your after the first five, and then after the first five after that, that you still got players coming off the bench that can average points or block shots or rebound and affect the game in a positive way, right?
Right.
So that's going to be a huge deal, you know. And if they got that going, and then they got Coach Pop, I mean, yeah, they're standing out. Who's going to beat them, you know?
Yep.
So I definitely respect that. As far as, you know, the Cavs, like I said, you know, what, you know, how they're going to be looking come January and then finishing the season off and whatnot, you know, what are they going to have to sacrifice to make sure that everybody gets into the playoffs healthy? You know, that's a big deal nowadays, right? And with Kyrie, you know, are they going to play risk-reward factor with him? And then how is that going to play off as far as meshing when you need to mesh the most, the playoffs, right? And like I said, the Heat, definitely I can respect that pick. You know, I think a lot of that starting lineup, if their bench plays well, you never know. So it's going to be, like I said, it's going to be fun. That's why I wanted to try to do this show kind of early. It's really early, of course, but it's September now. October is right around the corner. So I know I'll do another show eventually. And again, I'll be planning on having some of the Atlanta Hawks executives and players on as it gets closer and closer to the season beginning. I've already gotten one vote of approval from executive staff there. So I'll be hoping to plan that out as the weeks go by. So definitely be standing by on that. So, Shaquille, I appreciate your time, man. I want to give you a big shout-out for coming on tonight. Hopefully everybody enjoy it, your input and insight on a lot of these teams. And like I said, as we get closer to the season, I'm definitely going to invite you on again and have you on, okay?
All right. I appreciate you having me. I talk basketball all day.
All right, man. Well, you take care and enjoy the rest of the evening, okay?
All right, you too.
Well, everyone, that was my man, Shaquille. That was really good of him to take some time to call into the show and help me get this show under the belt. I haven't been on the air for a while. I have a lot of stuff going on. As you heard earlier, there's a huge event that's going to be coming up October 4th in Atlanta, Georgia. The Gold Group will be presenting the Design Your Life workshop led by Beige Fletcher, author, life coach. You have to be there. Visit www.thegoldgroup, goalinc.com, and that's goal as if you're reaching for a goal. And that's where you can find ticket information, go to the workshop events page, and you see all the information there. You can also call 305-204-1826. So if you missed the show live, you can still find out about the information. That's for all of you who are listening to this show, not live right now. Thank you. So definitely, I also have some other projects coming up. I've been working on some websites lately. If you visit me on Instagram, IMTM1, or hit me up on my website, www.imtmworldwide.com, which is about to be redesigned. My business website, which I've recently finished, www.innovativeenterprises.com, and that's 1E. Go there and find out what I'm doing there. And also I'm working on my movie. So I have a lot of stuff going on, so I haven't been able to do a lot of shows as of late, but again, that's going to change very soon. I've just hired another assistant. Very happy about that. And, of course, big shout-out to Chelsea and also Stacy and also Naomi. They've been helping me out a whole lot over the last couple of weeks, letting me get a lot of stuff done and helping me not be as stressed as usual. So shout-out to the ladies out there. So NBA season is coming, and it's going to be one of the most important ones ever because we're going to be losing some of our mainstay players. Tim Duncan, this is probably his last year. KG, Dirk, possibly. Kobe Bryant might be leaving. You know, so what? How's the NBA going to stack up from now on? You know, every 20 years or so, we do have a reboot, you know. So it's going to be very interesting to see how the new players take over. You got James Harden, you know, you got KD, you know. Of course, LeBron is still here. But how's the NBA going to look? It's going to be real interesting. How's your team looking? Again, if you get to listen to the show and you like it, hit me up. You can email me, chris@imtmworldwide.com. Let me know how you like the show. I will be doing more shows. Again, they're 2 hours long, so you got plenty of time to call in, listen in. Hopefully everybody enjoyed it. Again, this is Chris, IMTN Worldwide. We're going to send you all out. And again, 305-204-1826, business line. Definitely make sure you listen tomorrow morning. I will be on the air again where I'll be interviewing the owner of the Gold Group, Beige Fletcher, about the event in Atlanta, October 4th, at the Grand Hyatt in Buckhead. Can't miss it. Again, visit www.thegoldgroupinc.com to check out how to get your tickets, how much they are, and everything. Got to be there. We're going to have some great speakers, some really, really, really important knowledge to give to the people who want knowledge. You got to want it, you know, to get it sometimes. And in this case, it's going to be really laid out for you in a way, make it really simplistic and how you can benefit from so many different things that a lot of people miss out on just because they don't know. It's not cool to not know stuff, right? So be there. I'll be there. So that's why you should be there. So again, this is Chris, IMTM Worldwide Radio, signing off for tonight. And don't also forget, before I get off the line, I'm going to be doing a music show soon. I don't know what I'm going to title it, but I'm going to have artists, I'm going to have producers, I'm going to have musicians, all type of people on that particular show to talk about who they are, what they're doing, and I'm going to play a little bit of their music as well, just like I did at the beginning of the show. Shout out again to Chris Pritham of Illit Records for that amazing track that I'm not going to tell y'all much more about, because hopefully I might have something recorded next time you hear me on the air. You never know. All right, let me get off the air. I got stuff to do. This is Chris, IMTM Worldwide Radio. Y'all take care. Peace.